Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are talking Ben Affleck's movie, Paycheck. Now, if you don't know Paycheck, that's totally fine, but it's a Philip K. Dick fantasy, sci-fi, monster, horror, weird movie. I don't know. Got big business implications. It's kind of fun. Not bad. But I remember it well, so that's why we're doing it. Our season is rapidly ending. Our new season is coming. So thanks for doing all you do as we speed towards season 10. Thanks, guys. This week on Myopia Movies, Ben Affleck. Well, Batman goes up against Elon Musk. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, and on panel we've got...
author Matthew W. Quinn, who thinks this movie is the tech bro version of The Fugitive.
Good.
Nor Chernet, wander down here, but also I am looking for my paycheck as well.
If it was just about Matt Damon, Ben Affleck walking around. If it's just about Ben Affleck, like trying to find the bursar's, like finding him the accountant, like excuse me, ma'am, why wasn't I paid? Which matters for 7 seconds, and then the apocalypse happened. Like.
I think a more interesting movie, like you mentioned, is Ben Affleck and him trying to fight off the Burgess Office Student Loan Committee and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Dude, I want my loans forgiven! I don't know why he's Keanu Reeves now. But then he just starts punching like the judges that have been, like, stopped.
Yeah. They don't make movies about hardship like student loans. They don't, with interest rates.
Well,
like
except for his first movie.
Which was?
Or no, the first one he wrote, the one he won the Academy Award for.
Oh, Good Will Hunting. That's about...
Well, no, it's about the dumb kid who can't afford to go to school. Right? Because Matt Damon is that brilliant mathematician, mm-hmm. but is the janitor because he can't actually afford to go to school, so he's
that's
trying to work.
Very true.
That's right?
Very...
That's... Huh. Academy Award winner...
But for writing, he's only gotten Academy Award for writing and producing and directing. Wait, what was Argo? What do you get for Argo?
Oh,
I think he got.
I think it was Best Picture. So he won as a producer,
And things like that. But like acting wise,
ooh, actually, that's a good question. I'll look it up. What do you think of Mr. Affleck as an actor?
Seems fine to me.
Okay.
I mean, in this movie, he plays a guy who starts out at least as kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Where's my money?
I prefer sober, old, grungy Matt Damon, Ben Affleck than young,
Matt Damon.
You know, still dating J-Lo, Jersey Girl, Ben Affleck, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we were right. He got Best Picture for Argo and Best Screenplay, Original Screenplay written for the screen.
So you got, so was it two or one?
So two.
So he has three.
2013 for Argo. No. I see what you're saying. Best writing screenplay written for the screen is one title.
Got you.
Along with Matt Damon. So he shared his Academy Award with George Clooney and Matt Damon, respectively.
Mm. Matt Damon.
So, okay, there we go.
I mean, that's some handsome company to keep.
No, yeah, yeah.
And I like him as a tough. Him trying to be an intellectual...
Well, in this movie, he's both. He's an engineer who's also like a kung fu master.
Well, yes, but I believe that he could shove... Aaron Eckhart through a wall. I don't believe he's working with microprocessors. And to make us convinced, he puts on the worst glasses I've ever seen.
What movie this? What year this movie come out?
2003.
Those are some 2003.
Because I am getting some serious.
I saw this in high school.
Because I'm getting some serious W zeitgeist going on here. Like especially when the Attorney General goes full villain.
Yeah, we'll get to this the plot, but this is definitely a post 9/11, but specifically post. We're starting to, like...
Preemptive strike? This is the Iraq War movie.
Right. Well, and I also am thinking this movie could be remade today while we're afraid of social media, right? Because, like, this is also a Philip K. Dick, we should be more afraid of technology than we are kind of movie.
I feel like this was a low-budget Minority Report.
Actually,
burn!
I don't think that's a burn. I think that's 100% what that is.
As I'm thinking about it.
Is Ben Affleck the non-union Mexican equivalent of Tom Cruise, just bigger?
Tom Cruise was Mexican in Minority Report?
Running joke.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's a Simpsons reference. But actually...
He's white!
I would say the actual problem is Tom Cruise is doing all the thing Ben Affleck should be here, which is that he's...
Yeah.
They never are... So, you're right.
Tom Cruise was in Minority Report the year before. That's a 2002 flick.
Right. So is Paycheck the Asylum version of Minority Report?
Could be. If I knew what Asylum meant.
No.
Rip-offs.
Ah.
It's not a rip-off, though. It's a different story. Asylum is doing, instead of Pacific Rim, they do Atlantic Rim. They're the things that they use to confuse your grandma by putting them at the checkout at Walmart. And so they're like, I thought you liked Transformers. This is Transmorphers, Grandma. Like, that's what it is. But what it is they bought up the rights to another Philip K. Dick story. Because Minority Report is Philip K. Dick, and this is Philip K. Dick. And they're just like,
oh.
It's the same sci-fi writer. It's just right. A different... But that's why it looks so similar. This is also a John Woo movie, so it's the same dude who did Face Off. That's why at the end, there's a scene where they're closer than I am to you, Noor, and they have guns in each other's faces.
Yeah.
And someone throws a dove at the camera, because that's what John Woo does.
And they have a weather control system, so they can have a throwdown...
In a rainstorm, inside.
With 20 rent-a-cops.
They must have begged John Woo to do this, because the action scene sucks.
I was going to say the opposite. I think this
you
was...
You like the action scene?
Yeah.
No.
I thought some of them were... Like, the whole ending sequence, so he locks up in the lab, I got some serious, I'm not locked in here with you, you're locked in here with me vibes. He just beating up rent-a-cops.
Yeah.
I think I enjoy this movie more than you, but not as much as you. I think I'm right there.
If they tightened up the first third a lot more, I would probably liked it better.
See, I'm a sucker for like good action, like the John Wicks, the old Jackie Chan movies. So when you say action and you say John Woo, I think of
Face Off.
Yeah. I think of some parts of Mission Impossible 2.
And he's a Hong Kong action guy. That's what I'm saying too. And so the reason I'm not saying you're wrong because of that, I'm saying the opposite. I think this was his last chance, because all of his American movies were not as big as his Hong Kong movies.
That's true.
So they're like, this is your last chance to make one. So that's why I think this one is more plot heavy than action heavy,
right,
which is unusual for John Woo, because like they get those faces off pretty easily.
Yeah.
And there's child death in the first 3 minutes of that, when Travolta is playing with his kids on a playground, and Cage with that great mustache, previous episode, by the way, Face Off, With a gun, misses Travolta, that huge head of his, somehow he misses Travolta, and shoots the kid right in the fucking face. And God, now that's a picture. This movie, we'll see how we like it.
Let's see. I'm trying to look up John Woo American's movies.
John Woo had like 5 American movies.
He had Hard Target, Broken Arrow.
If you have not seen Hard Target,
okay.
See Hard Target and listen to our podcast on it. That's with Uncle Duvet, right?
Yeah, that's the one with Uncle Duvet.
Goddamn movie.
It's a hunting humans for sport movie in New Orleans, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Ice-T. Ice-T's
the other one. Ice-T is surviving the game.
And it's got Wilford Brimley as the most Cajun man alive.
I got you. Interesting. Okay.
Oh, never mind. I was going to say, didn't I lend it to you? No, I lent you Roadhouse.
Dogma.
Dogma.
Dogma, Dogma.
I was just like, because we were talking about you should watch it.
I forgot to bring that to you. Don't worry, it's going to come back.
I can track you down and kill you if I need to.
The Blu-ray has a chip in it.
I have a very specific set of skills about getting back DVDs I've lent people. You will be so passively aggressed.
Yeah.
We've talked about this long enough. Matt, can you give us a plot synopsis?
Okay, the short version, the tech bro version, the fugitive. The long version is Ben Affleck is... like a reverse engineer. He hijacks, he buys rival company's technology, reverse engineers new versions of it, and then has his memories surgically removed. It's like the ultimate non-disclosure agreement.
That's some shit.
And so his memories are basically him going to baseball games all the time. Like, there's a whole running joke about the Red Sox.
Because it's impossible for Ben Affleck to be anywhere other than in Boston.
Wonder if he and M. Night Shyamalan ever meet up.
That's Philadelphia.
Oops. Northeast, whatever. And so he takes on a new job where he'd lose 3 years of his life to surgically altering memories that might overheat his brain. But they don't really say what it is. And along the way, he meets Uma Thurman.
She's a
biologist.
Well, she's like at a gala or something. She's like at a fancy dinner thing.
Right.
And he kind of comes on to her in a way like, yeah, we've just met. Want to go somewhere? And then they make this whole thing about, I'm going to talk to your friend now. and then Second Chances. That's like a running joke throughout the movie, is Second Chances.
Yeah, this is the least Gatsby movie there's ever been.
Mm.
And so 3 years later, he wakes up. He doesn't have his money. He has like 20 random items in an envelope. The FBI detains him, claiming he's a traitor. And then some of those items turn out real useful. And then, you know, the game is on. Because he's being hunted by Elon Musk and Colm Feore from Chronicles of Riddick, who can play Thug really well.
He was in Chronicles of the Riddick.
And some FBI agents who basically have Marshall Gerard's whole arc in The Fugitive, which much less reason for it. He was upset when he called him a traitor. He must be innocent. Yeah, you flip from his enemy to his ally in 5 minutes.
Played from the guy who plays Dexter in the movie, in the TV show Dexter.
Michael C. Hall. Yeah. And then you got Joe...
Michael C. Hall, who needs to lose...
Joe Morton.
Yeah, Michael C. Hall, who needs to lose some weight.
Wow. Fucking judgy.
He's just a big guy. He's not...
In Dexter, he's a lot skinnier looking.
Discovered the blow.
But no, Joe Morton.
Jordan Morton.
He has one of the best on-scene deaths in Terminator 2. I say that's the best death scene. He's like, he's holding the little button, whatever. He's like, I can't... And then that's just, to me, cinematic... masterpiece there. You know, they were escaping from... if you look at the clip, you'll know he's just
Is he the scientist?
He's the guy who invents...
the T-100 or whatever.
Well, he comes up with... I don't know. I forget if he owns
like a microchip?
No, I think it's actually the AI.
Yeah.
I forget if it's the AI or if it's the company. He owns the company. Either way, he's trying to blow up the chip so that he brings down the... the entire company.
Like Skynet.
It is Skynet.
Yeah.
But he's also the captain in Speed. Like, the dude is just... He's one of those actors where I'm like, holy shit, he's in this. Cool. Like, I don't know. I just... He's an all-time character actor. Anyway. So, let's start at the top and take it away. We have Ben Affleck. His name is Jennings. We don't get a full name. It's very...
Is it Michael Jennings? Michael Jennings. I swear someone calls him Michael at some point.
Yeah. Uma does. Mm-hmm. But he is a, you know, we see him in a suit at, I don't know, CES. He's at some consumer festival.
What is that? Pier 1? What's the one with the gadgets?
He's buying a
Duvan. What's the story with gadgets and shit?
Brookstone?
Sharper Image?
One of those.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, so they're showing off this technology where, like, the hentai comes out of the screen. It's a CGI woman. It's just like a bunch of men are like, I will take three of those now. Can they look like they're 14? Like, it's...
I didn't hear that.
It's just this guy's like heavily breathing. Like, I will have one right now. Jerry's wedding was on the rocks at the time. Ben Affleck very confidently shows up and says, I'd like to buy a woman. And he takes this thing home. He's met by this kind of blonde woman in the hallway. She goes, now you know your contract. You have 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your home for the next 2 months. Bye. And we're not really told what's happening.
No.
But he opens it up and then he takes apart the computer. And then Matt mentioned earlier, Minority Report. Then we get this giant Minority Report touchscreen thing. Like, it's halfway between Jurassic Park. And he's like, I bet you this nut is pretty important. And then he taps it, and then all of a sudden the CGI appears, and he's like, correct it. Like that, right? That's...
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It is. Early 2000s. What year is this based in, by the way?
I don't think it ever really says.
On one hand, it's the not-too-distant future, because there aren't, like, future guns, right?
Bullets exist, yes.
But, like, and all the cool technology exists. I mean, there's, like, Uma Thurman has robotic arms later. Those were things by the 2000s.
We got those.
Yeah. Except every so often the movie forgets. It's as though there's two different scripts, because here, when you have the touchscreen that you're flipping away, we don't even have that now. And that's 20 years later. This is almost the 20th anniversary of this film.
You mentioned the director or the writer of this being the same as Minority Report. I remember watching an interview Tom Cruise did with Oprah. This is before the jumping the couch one, I think. Basically saying, and I forgot what year Minority Report is based on, but it was, I think, 50. Anyways, he said, like, in the non too distant future, this could be it. This is cars doing what they are. Crime. So this could have been a version of what they thought the future could be, which is, I mean, think about it. Wait, Back to the Future 2 was set in, what, 2013?
Yeah.
None of that shit exists.
I will also say, like, I have another kind of theory on this.
What's up?
In the early 90s, and then let's stay, let's start with the 90s, there was a writer who was hot shit. His name is Michael Crichton. Now, okay. You might know the name, but he wrote Jurassic Park.
Wow, okay. I'm feeling myself aging. Once upon a time, there's a writer named Michael Crichton.
Jurassic Park, the movie, came out 30 years ago. The book came out in like 88. So that's almost... But anyway, so what is it? It's a tech thriller that is an action movie, right? I've created dinosaurs. How? We'll explain the science in 30 seconds, and then there's a T-Rex that's going to try to eat someone. And you're there, right?
Fair enough.
He made a movie in then called Sphere, which is about aliens. He wrote the movie Twister about tornadoes, and he created the show ER, which is also about sci-fi.
He did ER. Same guy who did Jurassic Park did ER.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
So many previous episodes based on his books.
And he did Lost World. Anyway, in 1999, he writes a book called Timeline about traveling through time through the multiverse, where you can see the future or go into the past.
Does that have anything to do with the movie Time Machine?
Timeline.
Timeline. Okay, just making sure.
Because they made a movie on about Timeline.
Yeah.
And it's mostly like a Knight's Tale. It's all about them being in the medieval period, nothing about the science.
Right.
Stars Paul Walker, the guy from the final.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, it's that one. But the point was, at this point, everything Crichton did was automatically bought because Jurassic Park was the biggest movie of all time. So in 1999, he writes this book, and they figured that Timeline would probably be out in a year or two, so everything about time travel and seeing the future was immediately optioned. And so the first was the Philip K. Dick book, Minority Report, and then I'm sure they did this one at the same time, because this is 2 years later, and then 3 years later, after that book came out, it was the biggest book on the planet, right? No one could have predicted that a weird, vaguely homoerotic wizard book would come out called Harry Potter in 2001, and completely change what we went from sci-fi to fantasy like that.
Well, they had to tone down the war movies and such and be kind of campy because, you know, 9/11. Like I said, 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, which I didn't realize, because I'm going to make y'all feel old. I was like in third grade at the time when it happened. I didn't realize how much it had affected like the world in general, because I was very sheltered. But no, this totally makes sense.
Well, I mean, because we were used to watching action movies like Arnold movies or, you know,
like left and right,
where sometimes an alien kills everyone, but you get the one guy out. To instead, after 9/11, where it's like Jason Bourne shit, right? Yeah. Where America has to be right. And even if America's wrong, at least the one American is right and they're going to save the world, right?
Right.
Bond movies stop being funny and start being Daniel Craig, which are great films, but that's a desperate, that's a drama every time. Like, it's tragic. It's violent.
I've only known James Bond movies to be serious.
But that's kind of here why this feels weird. Because it's kind of also torn. Like, who's the bad guy? Is it corporations? Not in 2003. Is it the government? Kind of in 2000. Like, so it's like everyone's kind of wrong, so we better destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enron. Enron was right before this.
This is Enron. Yes, that's true.
So which one is Ken Lay and which one is Jeff Skilling?
Oh, could you imagine those fat white fucks trying to punch Ben Affleck?
So could you explain the
Yeah, because these are the most hands-on corporate overlords ever. Like, they all do kung fu and have guns.
Okay, Enron is just, every time Forbes says a company is flawless, of course they're going to fall apart, like Silicon Valley Bank the last 3 years. But what happened was they were a company that bought futures. It was essentially an energy firm and an investment firm.
Hmm.
And then it turns out they were artificially inflating their numbers. They were like a Texas group, but they had power companies all over the place, by causing blackouts so that their energy prices would go up. So when California, especially Southern California, was having a record heat waves, they were shorting their own fund and causing brownouts on blackouts on purpose. So they went. They essentially went to jail for being assholes and fraud and all this stuff.
Right.
And it stuck. They were white-collar criminals who went to jail for 24 years.
Oh, wow. So they just got out?
Yeah.
Well, Lay, I think, died.
One of them died in prison. Stelling just got out.
Yeah. So
anyway. So Matt's right. Like, they're leaning into corporate corruption hard. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 9/11, corporate corruption.
Yeah, so everyone's bad except for Ben. Well, the two lower-level FBI guys are pretty cool, but the attorney general is evil. The corporate dudes are evil.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck is a kind of a tool, but he gets better, and Uma Thurman is Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman is someone that, like, That's also bullshit because she was Poison Ivy like 4 years before this with Batman and Robin. And she's like, you know, pants are wonderful. And I'm like, you can't. No.
Now she has songbirds.
Oh, no. I love her as an actress. She's great. But it's just like,
but
you
she's
can't
gotta pick
do
the
it.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, my favorite Uma Thurman movie is Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Dude, because she's fucking fantastic.
Right. And then you go to this. I think Kill Bill was after.
After Paycheck. This.
But I'm just what I'm saying, like, and I think she's done pretty good roles after that. But okay, I guess her redeeming quality was that Kill Bill was after this. I thought Kill Bill was before Paycheck.
No, I mean, and before this, she was in Pulp Fiction.
Again, great movie. Yeah. But then, she wasn't like the female lead. She was just a story, a part within this Quentin world. Was she in Get Shorty as well?
Yes, briefly. I think.
Briefly, okay, because I know that was.
Wait. Oh, no, we might be upset here.
No. Was Kill Bill after this or before this?
No, it might have been the same year. Okay, it's not bad then. Well, okay, it's not like, ooh, she's making a dip. She probably filmed them around the same time.
Yeah.
The reason I say that sucks is she's such a better character in Kill
Bill. Oh, absolutely.
I thought there was a change in her career. No, it's the same year. And she's an action hero in Kill Bill, right? Like... And it's also, I don't know how this sounds, but they let her use her eyes in that movie because she's a sympathetic character. She does it once when he doesn't remember her and they realize, oh, we were almost engaged, which is funny.
Well, she does do some stunt stuff in one of the car chase scenes and chucks a motorcycle helmet at a cop.
That's true.
That was good.
I think she threw a staff to Ben.
I think she's involved in a lot of you're locked in here with me battle right. in the lab because Ben Affleck is whooping everybody and she just pops up behind people.
That was the other thing. Were you convinced of their romance in the movie?
They didn't really have chemistry.
No,
not really.
Maybe.
I mean, I believe Ben Affleck more as the dude who just nails chicks at bars and then leaves. Like, because that part where he was like essentially negging her. That I believed.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't believe the romance later. No,
we
not really.
We forgot about
it. Well, that's, I guess, the whole point. He can't remember any of it.
We forgot about the best character in this movie.
Paul Giamatti. Dude, Paul Giamatti is a put-upon-brain guy. Okay, so at the end of this, so he has plausible deniability, I guess, even though you'd think he's been doing this for years. How does he learn how new circuits work if they erase his brain every time? But whatever.
Isn't that the point of you get experience doing these jobs?
Yeah, he should be the best in the field because what would be interesting is you could do the exact same story.
Right.
But the future thing doesn't, you could even leave the future thing in hell, but he does it so he can bring down the company because he has evidence of all the shit they've done. Like that should be the leverage, right? You pay me well because I can prove every single time you have had this hit technology, it's because you stole it. Right? Great. Although I don't think what they're doing is technically illegal.
What was the science behind it?
Well, the first one, it was just a 3D, woman head.
There might be rules about industrial espionage.
Well, no, I was talking about their time travel.
Time travel has no rules. We're not explained. Essentially, when you touch it, you can tell it what to look for because they have this weird clear keyboard thing here. I'm gesturing all of this, by the way. I hope it's helpful.
Yeah.
But what it shows you projected on the screen is a future based on your parameters, I guess.
Right.
Because Ben Affleck, I don't know why I say his name different each time. Michael is the character's name. Mikey sees his own future.
Right.
But he also sees the end of the world in flashbacks we get. Mm. And apparently bald guy wants to see like his financial future, I think. We don't know why he explodes.
Bald guy, also known as Colm Feore.
He is one of the little knickknacks that... I won't spoil it because we'll probably talk to the end. The explosion is caused by Michael doing something in the lab.
Correct.
No, but I really want to go back to this time travel thing because that does scratch my head. Because I grew up watching Back to the Future, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You know, you go back to the past and you can change your past and become your new future. But then Avengers Endgame did the thing where there's like realities and you're not really going back to your past. You don't your past is going to be the same past or whatever. I don't know. And then
this is why I don't really like time travel stories that much.
No, I mean, I will say though. we've done a lot of them, which is why Matt hates me. But generally, things that explain the rules at least a little bit help. Like, God, what was that one? Time Cop is a stupid movie. But we know if you touch your past self, you explode.
Yeah.
So that's the one rule I have to care about? Great. This one...
Well, in this movie, Paycheck, it's not that you go in the past. You could see in... Sorry, to your future. You can see in the future. You just can't live it. Because the science they explained it is like either Sir Isaac Newton or Einstein said that you can fire a laser that can go towards the edge of the Earth. And then with that, the curvature, you essentially could see it over and over again until like the Earth spin like fucking Superman's trying to save the pussy. And then it's just like... And so, I mean, that's how they explained it to me, which is perfectly fine and great. But then goes into the rules like, can you really change your future by altering your present?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Because if you alter your present, it becomes your future. It's truly your future. Don't give me no damn time machine. I can't do it. Go.
Well, but the other thing too is like, you destroy everything and you erase your memory, kind of.
That's what he does, yeah.
But like, if you knew that the world was going to end, like, wouldn't you try to stop it?
That was the whole point, I think, is that you see the future, you accidentally cause it to happen. Which, in this case, leads to a quote-unquote preemptive war. Where have I heard that one before? That culminates in the nuking of Seattle or something.
Oh, no, you're right.
And like, then they try to stop a plague and actually cause a plague from happening. And so he decides he's going to blow up the machine. And meanwhile, the Attorney General decides he wants the machine. You start calling him John Ashcroft.
You might as well.
Only with more hair.
Let's see. Peter Friedman is his name.
Who?
The actor who plays the Attorney General.
It is strange how like it just kind of comes together that way. Anyway,
well, when you first saw this movie, did you expect it was going to be?
I saw this in theaters.
I don't even remember this.
I remember this, and it was because it was a summer air conditioning situation. It was like I was in high school. I just graduated high school, and I was like, I want to do something. What do you want to do? And this seems fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like I was like, oh boy, I can't wait to see. What does this say? Paycheck? Sure.
The only thing I remember from watching trailers when I was young or on the beginning of DVDs when I rented from Blockbuster Movie.
Oh, sure.
Was that train scene where he's running from this
two miles an hour
train.
That's a trailer thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so long story short, like we just said, he makes the fucking lady come out and everyone like creams their jeans. But then we cut to... him like going back home for the first time in months, and he's invited to a dinner party, right? And some asshole tells him that the socks lost, and he was sad.
And he's going to a party that is hosted by, I guess, the CEO of the company, but also his college a college buddy named Rethrick. They said his name a couple of times. I don't know. It's Aaron Eckhart, his character, fantastic as Two-Face. And you mentioned, what was the movie? Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah, Thank You for Smoking. It was great. Like. And again, he has this face of a real shit eater. I mean that the best way possible. So yeah, he's going to play a politician. Yeah, he's going to play a CEO. Yeah, he's going to play a spokesman for smoking because he's got that smirk going.
The
he's got voice, that strong
the
chin.
Jawline. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's also in Battle Los Angeles, where he plays a Marine sergeant.
There we go. I haven't seen it. Is it good?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. There you go. But he has this confidence about him that I can imagine, like that a John Hamm type, right?
Oh yeah.
And so like. Oh, dude, them is like Partners in Crime. Good movie. I believe it.
I'd watch that. True Detective, season 8. There we go.
Or Fargo, season 7.
Oh, I can see that. He had like a Minnesota accent. Yeah.
Some time travel, don't you know?
There you go.
And we have to kill Ben Affleck.
Can you imagine? Oh, could you imagine? Him, and it's those two against, let's see, Willem Dafoe and someone else who's crazy.
Sarah Palin.
She doesn't act, I hope. Oh,
well, she was in The Masked Singer, I think. And she did was. Baby Got Back dressed as a bear.
Yeah,
and
she was.
Giuliani was in it, and then the judges walked off when they were sucked. Life is sadder than you think it is sometimes.
How high the mighty have fallen. Spicer at one point.
Well,
the guy who was hiding from the press in the bushes is now singing in some sort of iridescent green suit.
The press secretary?
Yeah.
The one
for like a week?
Yeah.
That was a good pull.
Melissa McCarthy did the best impersonation of him.
She did. I thought you were going to say it was the best on the singer, and I was like, I didn't know she was on. No. Kermit the Frog was on The Masked Singer, which was
really. I stopped watching it after a while.
As you should.
Yeah, they added more people, and the weeks got longer. I was just like, ugh. I just watched the first three seasons. That's it. I mean, but yeah,
we've been trying to bring back American Idol for so long.
It's back.
No, not like that. Like, I just remember the first season where all of America watched it. So we've been trying to come up with a version of it.
Again. 9/11. I mean.
9/11.
Of course, it shifted everything. Even in entertainment and stuff. We need to have American Idol. Because American Idol was a show that was only popular in, like, Europe and stuff like that, or France, and then it came to the U.S. I think around that time, the 2000, 2001.
Like, the first full season was like 2002, right? 2001, and then, God, I remember being the student union in college, and they had it playing, the final playing, and everyone was kind of just watching it. I mean, you're college because you're pretending like you're not watching it, mm-hmm. but you're kind of just watching it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care about this.
That was the year that dude from Atlanta won,
Ruben Studdard.
Yeah,
he was going against Clay Aiken.
The first season was Kelly Clarkson and Justin Guarini,
which is he's prominently in all these Diet Dr. Pepper. Sweet. Yeah, just as crazy to me.
And he was the son of a disgraced Atlanta sheriff, if I recall correctly.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
more you know.
Yeah,
There was that movie From Justin to Kelly.
Stay tuned. We haven't done it. We have not done it. It's really sad.
That movie was I'm not going to say that.
That and Spice World. Yeah. There was just a generation where we thought we could do Beatles movies and we couldn't.
This part where I have Ben Affleck slit my wrists.
That's right. Anyway, so in where we are in the movie is essentially he is now invited into the secret mission that Matt described very aptly, which is that he goes into a place and everything's kind of different because usually it's Paul Giamatti and it's a couple months, but this time they want him to go into 3 years. We already got like a weird MacGuffin, which kind of matters later, which is that it's not a MacGuffin, but it's meaningless information that if his brain gets to
40 degrees Celsius,
right. And, like, it gets to 4.1, 4.2, and they're like, 43 is, like, something. So they get it back down.
Vegetable.
Out it doesn't matter because when the FBI is doing it, Celsius. He gets up to, like, 45 or something.
Well, yeah, this movie wants me to worry for the safety of his brain when the FBI is mind-jacking him, but I didn't care.
No, I agree with you, but I think it's because there were clearly three or four different things that they were trying to get.
Yeah.
And, like, this screams to me, oh, there was a different draft of this script, whereas much more that if he doesn't remember something, the world might end, right? And then he remembers it at the, like, then the brain part is what matters. But nope, that they forget that pretty quick because it doesn't matter. Instead, he's going to win the fucking lottery. And
yeah. So
I get 10% or I get 30%, right? No, 10%.
Well, they probably should because they really shouldn't be going out in public for a while by the end of the movie.
The fact that it ends is really interesting to me because at least at the end of The Fugitive, which you alluded to earlier, he's in the back of a cop car. He's being arraigned. Like, that's kind of what's happening. And we get the feeling that the second they get out of town, he's going to let him go. But he pretends to be arrested at the end of that. At least there's some justification. Here they're putting up wallpaper. They're like, isn't it great that we tricked both the FBI and a $1 billion company? Wow, we're never going to get in trouble. Like, you almost want to see the sniper sight kind of like jitterly come down.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, that's
I love you forever.
I was my Twitter rant, you know, is the attorney general going to go up with the rest of the building? That'll get rid of that loose end. Because this is only going to last as long as until someone figures out where's the body.
Again, America.
This is such a strange movie. It's like kind of like, oh, I guess we didn't get him this time. He's right fucking there. The Riddler is right there. Just go get him.
Yeah, if the Attorney General gets blown up and you see Ben Affleck sneaking out and he and the FBI just wink at each other.
Yeah, that would one guy.
Because if this was just like the three of them and no one knew what was going on, that'd be one thing. But they have like hundreds of dudes running around.
If it's the end of Dark Knight Rises and it's Joe Morton and Ben Affleck, and they just do the toast at the end and just winks at him, like, better movie. Or the recently fat-shamed Michael C. Hall.
Matt? Who?
Matt.
I know Matt.
Fat-shamed Michael C. Hall when we introduced him earlier.
Oh.
Because I've never seen him that chunky. I'm used to Dexter.
I mean, I guess if you're still, I forgot that character's name.
Well, he likes Dexter. More lean meat. No, he doesn't eat the people. He just murders them. Dexter is a great first season show, and then they're like, oh, fuck, what do we do with this?
Surprise, motherfuckers. They make it into... They actually came out with a recent season, it was spoiled for me, and I didn't want to watch it from there. But
I mean, I will say, though, it was...
I hate spoilers.
I'm not going to spoil anything, because it's a different season, but the most recent time that I've seen John Lithgow be a maniac, I love it. I love John Lithgow, the guy from Third Rock from the Sun, the big... Mm-hmm. He played serial killers in his early days.
He's a great...
And I just villain. Like to see him slightly unhinged. Yeah, like, he's fun.
Yeah, the villain and cliffhanger. He's the prison. No, he's another super serial killer hitman type. And that one where Denzel Washington.
Oh no, he's the villain of it.
It's Ricochet. And then Ricochet with a prison Nazi fight.
Yeah,
and then the Trinity Killer in Dexter.
He was a villain in Footloose.
I'm not taking any dancing anymore.
Footloose, I think he's supposed to be at least sad and somewhat sympathetic. The other ones, he's just evil.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just I love when a comedic actor turns like dark, because in a sense of way, like they're maybe showing their true selves.
Yeah, and Robin Williams played a real sicko in a 1 hour photo.
Yeah,
Robin Williams is a good actor. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we need to focus on this summon.
Yes,
I guess
we don't like this movie as much.
I mean, okay, so
I guess y'all don't like this because I, for the first time or in handful of years, did not really enjoy.
Okay,
this movie.
So he
regains consciousness and he's in a chair. He's been in this time though. It's different. Instead of having his memory, like, totally wiped by this computer process, they insert an isotope,
organically.
Which is supposed to be like a stop point, as though it's a punctuation mark in your brain. But it turns out, when Paul Giamatti gets him later, this isn't as effective, which matters because they do start to bring back memories when Joe Morton and Michael C. Hall have him in that chair thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's starting to see the thoughts, and like they're just looking at like live footage of an atomic bomb, which is weird. And he's like, I guess kill him?
That's when the FBI, the Attorney General, goes full evil at the end. He's like, retire him. We only need the machine. And that's probably when the two FBI guys are like, what?
Which, by the way, he's right. I don't want someone who knows how to make a machine that predicts the future just in the world. Right? Because the next time he gets pissed off or goes broke, he can just ask for $1 billion from Elon Musk. And all of a sudden, Elon Musk can see the future now. I'm fine with that information not existing, which is kind of the moral of this. We shouldn't know the future.
Yeah.
Right?
That's very true.
That's what the future is. But so he regains consciousness, and we see this thing like he's going into lockup or something. Like they take his watch and his glasses, and they take his like his valuables.
Yeah.
But when we see him come out of being like whatevered, he gets a different folder of things, and that's what we hear him say. Like, this isn't my stuff.
Well, also,
dun, 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 dun.
So he does get paid handsomely to reverse engineer all these technologies.
And this time, it's
stock options,
right? Which is important.
Which is very important.
Right.
Stock options in the form of $90 million, was it, or something like it was crazy,
around
it was
there.
It was a crazy amount. Yeah.
It was 90, and then they just hit the keyboard.
A couple of zeros,
so it doesn't sound like zero.
Right. Which, I mean, I would never in this day and age do. I would have it. I would get a job with stock options, but just don't pay me in stock options.
Well, but that's why he has to win the lottery at the end, because the options are going to be worthless because the company just got destroyed. Right. Like,
yeah, kind
they
of.
They cared about that part of the plot.
They blew up the whole building, and somehow there's no backup, because they're explicitly saying there's no backup files. Did they not have the cloud in 2003?
Well, in the 2003, there really wasn't a cloud. So I guess
floppy disk and USB was just a thing.
Oh, I'm sure they had the biggest of 1 gig hard drives.
Nobody took a CDR home.
Nah.
Or a CDRW, because CDRs can be recorded on once.
I don't, dude. There's a deal, like a Julian Assange guy just traipsing out of there with the chat GPI thing or whatever,
like a freaking suitcase full of CDRWs.
Well, they didn't know what technology was going to be in the near distant future. Like I was watching.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I was watching, like we said before, you saw it in Back to the Future. We saw it in Minority Report. I was watching the XXX2, the one with Ice Cube. And there was their queue, the college.
Did you see
board.
It for us? Because we did that episode.
Are you for real? No, I just I saw the first one. I was like, all right, guys, see the second one. All right, guys. Whenever I get into like a movie thing, I have to see all of them. Anyways, this guy was like, oh my god, this thing is 400 gigs, and I'm like, was that a lot? 2002? which it was, because think about it. Your iPod back in the day only had like 1 gig.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That was clearly a joke written by someone who had seen computers but didn't know what they meant. Right. Because when Weird Al, a smart guy, made that joke, he made the joke 100 gigabytes of RAM, which is still today, 30 years or 20 years after he made the joke, still funny because that's absurd. You never need that much RAM. That's not how RAM works, right? And so it's someone like, could you imagine a file that was 400 megabytes?
Are we talking about Johnny Mnemonic now? You know, 100 kilobytes in my brain.
Episode.
Yeah, which, although I don't know how much your brain could hold, but it's not a hard drive. So regardless, you're right, though. I think it's the Philip K. Dick thing where he's just like, you know what science needs? Liquid nitrogen in canisters. which is what explodes, I think.
Yeah,
which I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah, but yeah, so he wants his stock options, but apparently the woman at the bank says he traded them all in for an envelope full of things that are not his things.
Right.
And that's when things start getting weird. Because then the FBI arrests him after he beats up like three of them.
Yeah, and he like jumps. He was going to escape by a subway, but he notices that he in the stuff is a Metro card. And then he's like, oh, maybe this stuff has, like, that's when it kind of clicks, which, again, you're showing, not telling.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like, I forgot what movie
After the FBI almost cooks his brain and he's able to escape using cigarettes and fancy glasses.
Which, again, breaks the rules because it hits 44 degrees or whatever, so he should be a vegetable, which doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so funny how I was like you, Matt, I agree with you. It's just like, huh, I guess it didn't matter in the end. Like,
I don't remember getting to that point, but my concern was, I don't care about him dying. Well, shouldn't I like him?
Well, no, but it's the same thing. Like, I would assume that mattering to the plot matters to the character. But you're right. He's not particularly likable. I mean, he's supposed to be that tech asshole guy.
That scene when he's in the bank and he lost his money, I didn't like that scene in particularly because it was just, I felt like that was like something they did in post. You know, yeah. It's like, yeah, come on. Where are these $30,000 glasses? And just throws them out. Like, that was just terrible acting for me. Wow, this is the first time I'm going against y'all. Well, at least you said you like this movie.
I thought it was fine. We'll get there. But, well, I was also going to say this is the first time you've been negative about a movie we've done.
Well, again, I have action movies I hold to a very high standard because there are really good action movies. Like, if it takes you 15 takes for you to jump over a fence, Liam Neeson, I'm taking four. Get a stunt double. You know what I mean?
Need someone else. Yeah.
Get somebody else.
Well, you know which, by the way, we've done movies where you can tell it's not the same guys. It's
right.
Like, terrible stunt double. No, yeah. We don't care. I just want to see the dude fall off the building.
And like in spoof movies, I forgot what it was, date movie or whatever. Obviously, like I think, what was the old Fred? Not Fred Williams. I forgot what it was.
You're not helping me.
No, I'm not.
What movie?
I'm going to say, have you seen How High? He was like one of the principal. What else he's in? Anyways, he's obviously a white man, right? It's going to kill me. But he's obviously like a white man. And then cut to his stunt double is some type of black guy doing backflips. Like that to me is funny.
Yeah, that's funny. It's the Black Dynamite joke, if you haven't seen Black Dynamite, where they're driving along in a blue car, and it gets bumped off the road, and it turns into a brown car as it's falling down the cliff. Funny fucking movie.
I'm going to show you this actor, and you're going to be like, oh, because he recently, I think he passed away in 2022. He was in the OG Space Force back in the 70s. Fred Willard.
You were halfway there.
Yeah, I said Fred.
For a second, they were talking about Fred Ward.
Yeah.
You know, from Tremors.
Previous episode as well. Just listen to our back catalog. We have so many good movies. So the whole rest of this is him going through the subway system, getting around, trying to escape. He comes back across Uma Thurman in a safe house, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because at this point, somebody knows she's helping him. Why is either the corporate goon squad or the FBI not breaking into her house?
Well, she lives in corporate housing.
But I thought she had an apartment by a school.
She did. Yeah, you're right. I thought that was.
But she also has corporate housing. I guess she's really making money.
I really hope she doesn't live in that one. That looks like a crack house apartment.
The cheap apartment they live in, I got the feeling, was part of his plan. Like, he got this
plan.
He was an extended stay hotel or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and like overlooking an alley with hookers.
Right.
There we go. Well, everything in the manila envelope was essentially, because he looked into the future And so I guess he predicted these situations and how to get out of it.
Well, but here's
I would have loved to see what he saw fully in transparency in the future.
Well, and he's taking notes, I guess, yeah. because some of this stuff is really very specific.
Right.
Like at one point, in order to break in, they have their old IDs, right, which haven't been deactivated.
Right.
Because, you know, the guy who is arrested by the FBI remains in the computer system for the next 72 hours. It's, you know, policy. Mm-hmm. But the way they sneak in to distract the guards is they have four ball bearings that they roll at. And I'm just, that was the one.
Yeah.
That one and the one where he's trying to get into the lab to see what he saw, yada, yada, yada.
And like to lock it, he had some like IKEA.
He has the right size Allen wrench and he has not like a quarter or a dime, a weird like Kennedy half dollar or something, like an unusual piece of currency.
Perfectly fits, yep.
And again, we need to see what he sees, because is he really like going like back and to the left? Let's enhance this. Oh, it's an Allen wrench. I needed an Allen wrench this time.
Right.
And so he literally just has an envelope and he's putting the items in to see if he goes any further. It's like playing like a, you know, like one of those choose your own adventure novels.
Yeah.
But he's like flipping back like an asshole.
Hmm. Time travel. That's why I don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, you do what you want. I just got to pick. Is this a science movie or an action movie? It's kind of half, and that's the problem.
Well, it's got Carfu.
It does have some Carfu. It has
is that John Woo?
Is that John Woo like guy on a motorcycle, like a like kind of a crotch rocket motorcycle, so they can do those power slides and send gravel at people? One of which I think becomes a bullet and kills someone. Which that's
then it, yeah, because a bunch of corporate, at least one car full of corporate goons goes full Pinto and explodes.
He does after like barely hitting something, which is like you're right, it's a Pinto joke or a Yugo joke.
I think if there was more martial arts, the action scene would be better, because again, I do see the slow motion tackles, and I didn't see one dove.
There is one dove.
But does the dove cry?
I think it was a blink if you don't see it moment.
I don't know what the dove budget is. Maybe they started telling people not to give Woo doves, but like...
Well, they had two birds. Pigeons? No. Parrots? No.
Yeah, Uma Thurman has canaries. Songbirds.
But I was going to say, just like, even in Face Off, there's like 30 fucking doves they throw. Did all of them die? Did people stop selling him doves so he just says one at a time?
Did he eat them?
Let me tell you something. Pigeon farming or white doves had a good year in 2000, 2005, you know, with Face Off and
Mission Impossible 2.
So many fucking doves in that movie.
Yeah.
So many doves.
And so this
Ben Affleck will beat your thetans out of you with a stick.
Dude, he's a drinking Catholic. That's the worst kind. Mm. They'll just punch you. Yeah. Just punch you. But yeah, so the actual parts of this movie that... where they use the gadgets are very, very weird. We learned the future because there's supposed to be 20 items in there, but there's only 19. And then the woman very oddly says, you know, you use too many stamps. And then he's like, she said something about the stamps from Boston. And then,
oh, you got Keanu Reeves there. I know Kung Fu.
Hey bro, what about these stamps? And then in the iris of one of the, Washington's on the damn thing. He has superimposed. Einstein. Yes, Einstein. He has superimposed six images about the end of the world.
Yeah, which he and Uma Thurman figure out in a high school science lab.
Which, by the way, how did he print images in the future?
They allow him to Control print P? And they don't look.
Find printer?
Find printer. Can you imagine him in 1993 trying to get on the network using one of those ball mouses where the ball's on the top? God. And he's like, okay, how can I print this so... It becomes a Dilbert cartoon.
Yeah. There was no keyboard.
That racist man. He's like trying to send it to the network printer, and there's just hilarity. Are you faking postage stamps, which the government accepts, Michael? Mm. But yeah, so it predicts the end of the world. And all of a sudden, this is when Uma Thurman gets to act. Her acting is, I'm hurt. The first time when he doesn't remember her, or the fact that they've been banging for 6 months, or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. But then they send a body double of her to get the stuff, and then that's when she gets mad.
That I didn't understand.
I think we're mixing it up. So I think they knew. Okay, so
this is when they knew each other, but they weren't helping each other.
Right. So I think they went to Uma Thurman and said, "Hey, Michael had left," and she got all distraught and pissed. Then she takes a shower, and in the shower, in the mirror, there was a message from Michael saying, "I love you. Meet me at cafe, whatever." the goons had essentially had found that message after she did, and they were able to get a body double to the cafe and try to use the fact that he didn't remember anything to see, like, hey, it's me, it's Bay. I think, yeah.
And then Uma Thurman comes with a briefcase and just brains her, like it's a friggin' Mari Povich show, you know, stay away from my man.
Exactly. I think she did get upset. Yeah, because the question that Ben asked the body double, it's like, hey, who's my favorite sports team? And she's like, it doesn't matter.
And of course, Boston.
But yeah, she gets mad because she doesn't remember, and they saw like a video of her birthday and him singing Happy Birthday and bring a little chocolate cupcake to her and stuff. So yeah.
But, and again, like, yes, that is very sad. But you knew you were, like, dating a dude whose memory was erased. Like,
that's, yeah. That
yeah.
I think...
supposedly he wasn't going to do it or something. Yeah,
he wasn't going to... That was it. That was the promise that they had made initially.
That's why they wanted to kill him.
Right.
I think.
Maybe.
Our love is so strong, he would remember. Thank you.
What is this, The Notebook?
I cried after The Notebook. We riffed it and I was crying at the end. It was very sad.
It is a very sad movie.
This is why I avoid things that pull on the heartstrings. I don't hate feelings.
Whale. Don't watch The Whale. I cried during the trailer.
Don't have edibles and then watch like Coco. You'll cry.
Oh, I watched Coco not knowing how it was going
to end.
The
skeleton is speaking to me.
I'm teaching kids about world.
Dude, you are in the afterlife until people start forgetting you, and then this dude is disappearing because his last family member doesn't remember it. Like, and it's a kid's movie. Although, you know what? That's a good fucking movie.
It is a great movie.
It's just,
or there's
that's the red wine and cry kind of movie.
Or the Garth Brooks song about the Christmas truce, which is the song that makes Matt cry.
The Christmas Shoes?
Truce. The belly. It's called Belly of Wood. It's about the Christmas truce in World War
One.
The
Christmas Shoes song.
That song is just depressing. The Garth Brooks song about Garth Brooks' Belly of Wood is like the saddest song ever.
Oh, I mean, we all have songs.
What's the one with the cats and the cradles? And
that sucks too.
Yeah,
I can't make the joke I'm going to make. I'll tell you later. Remind me to tell you my thought.
But yeah. All right, cool.
Anyway, so the rest of this, like you said, she's, why is it so important that blah blah blah? Oh, it must be a, and then the gunfire opens up and it gets a shootout and all that shit. And so this is when they figure out, okay, now I'm down to blank items, whatever, 10 items.
It was the ball bearing, the crossword puzzle, the IKEA screwdriver.
Uh-huh. The silver dollar.
The silver dollar.
There's a pack of cigarettes.
The cigarettes were smoked on the FBI. That's how he's able to escape because
right.
The smoke detector.
There's a Metro card.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was going to say is most of this stuff doesn't matter. It's more of a get out of jail free card.
Right.
And again, it would be interesting if, I guess, spoiler for the movie, but like in The Prestige, where like he had to watch himself die 30 times in order to make this work, right?
Yeah. 'Cause,
like, if there was just something about...
Great movie, by the way.
What?
Prestige? Great movie, by the way.
Prestige. I love The Prestige. Yeah, love it. I was trying to explain to my daughter how a magic trick works, and I'm like, oh, I'll just show that bit from... okay, so here's the thing. There's three parts to a magic trick. And right, and he goes through, first you have to set it up, then you have to prove that you're telling
you
the truth.
You showed her that? That scarred her.
No, the one where he's doing the trick.
Oh, okay.
The one where the little girls come up and he shows them how to make the bird disappear. Right?
Okay.
He goes, so first you have to establish the truth. This is a bird. It's in a cage, right? Then you have to trick them. Then he smashes the bird cage, right?
Right.
And then he goes, but if you just killed something, there's no trick. You just killed something.
Right.
So the trick only comes in. People don't applaud until you show them the prestige. And then he shows that the bird's fine. That's the part I shudder.
Not the part where it's like, but the bird's dead.
But, you know, not the part
the
where...
The first bird's dead.
Not the part where he says the same narration over a twitching corpse. But I bring that up because like if Ben Affleck literally had to watch himself die and then figure out how to survive it each time, and we see him filling the bag, that adds stakes, right? Like,
that's true.
He's willing to destroy this invention by watching himself die. Like, that's got to fuck with you. Like, that's a story. I enjoyed watching this. To me, this is kind of like a... Either, like, people are over, let's watch an action movie we're not going to pay attention to until there's action.
Right.
Or a dad afternoon, like, because you don't have to pay attention. None of the talky-talk matters.
Right.
Oh, the other guy in a black suit is going to try to kill him now. Great.
Yeah.
But, like, this movie can't decide what it wants to do. And right here is where it gets really bad. They're like, we have to break into the company for some reason. No, you can get away. You've tricked him.
That's
get
true.
Out of here. Who gives a shit?
Well, they I think they had the sidekick scientist who was going to figure out his sabotage pretty quickly. He needed another day.
Well, that's what he says. They have a scene where they're splicing in. What we didn't mention, the mass alluding to, is Ben Affleck broke the machine in some way. And they don't know how, because obviously the thing isn't destroyed, and he was just able to leave. And what he's done is put a sticker circuit on the circuit board.
Yeah. Because that's how computers and science work.
So
stickers.
It's like, to get it back to Terminator 2, the guy can't just quit the company. They have to blow it up.
They have to destroy
the
machine.
They have to kill him, yes.
Because when they sneak back in, what they want to see is what he saw. Because remember, he theoretically has no idea what he invented. I mean, I figured out it was time travel, or at least some sort of future sight pretty quickly. Because it was either that or a cloning situation, because he was getting out of these things.
True.
He wants to see what he saw, whatever it is. And we see this video that is like, I don't know, it's like a silent documentary. It's like you're watching a YouTube video too late, and it's muted, but it's kind of like the top five ways the world's going to end. It's just like war, violence. And it was like, turns out everything we predict happens. And you're just like,
why do you give her that?
Because she's a good actress, but these lines are pretty universally stupid. And so Barbie doing it is what working for
Maybe she had to do this movie to get a different movie. Because some actors do that. It's like, hey, we'll put you in this movie, but you have to star in these two other movies.
That's right.
It's like, okay. Like Ben Affleck, hey, we'll give you Batman. We'll let you direct Batman, but you got to do this gangster movie in The Accountant for us. Because profit shares and taxes and fiscal years and such. Business talk.
Business talk.
Interest rates.
Business. IRAs. 403Bs.
Roths.
Okay. So, after this, he decides he has to destroy the machine, but he sees his own future, which is that he's going to die on a catwalk, which then everyone else sees because he set it up as his, like, Insta.
It's on his story.
But, like, literally, Eckhart watches it. Like, everyone's like, huh, he dies on a catwalk. Which means I can't shoot him yet. I have to shoot him on the catwalk, I guess. Which, no, just shoot him.
In motion, the future is. Mm-hmm. Yoda says so, now, or say so, Yoda.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Frogs give me to eat.
There we go.
The future, so say Yoda. Yeah, I'm doing my Nick Nolte impression.
That was your Nick Nolte impression?
No, my God damn it. That's my Nick Nolte. It could be worse.
It could be Gary Busey.
I know. I get Gary Busey and Nick Nolte mixed up.
Always motion to future.
Yeah, I'm Gary Busey. That's like...
Gary Busey is the motorcycle accident. Nick Nolte was the... He was arrested at one point about 10 years ago. You can look this up. But when they drug tested him, all he had in his system was roofies. And then he goes, sir, did you know you had Rohypnol in your system or whatever? And he goes, Rohypnol, also known as the date rape drug. He goes, now I've taken it several times and no one's tried to rape me. Sexiest man alive, Nick Nolte. It was like 1988, sexiest man alive.
Ass hurt for no reason. You fell down some stairs, but we're in a one-floor motel.
And for those of you who like celebrity news, you also know he has like an all-time like mugshot where it looks like he...
Was that Gary Busey or Nick Nolte?
They both have pretty
good... They have pretty good.
The homeless man awakened just a lot of teeth. Hey guys, get my good side.
Hey guys, I can see the future. I've done so much cocaine and hit my head enough times.
I can see color. Nick, you've always seen color.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Nick Nolte's not in this. Aaron Eckhart and Ben Affleck have a standard John Woo. Like, we're 5 feet apart. We've got guns. There's like a wall behind it. Again, it's in Face Off at the end when they're in that church and they're on either side of a divide. They just have guns on each other.
Yeah.
It's what he does. It just...
Except in Face Off, it was a better scene.
Well, because they fought. There's just a lot of talking in this. There's not a lot of fighting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Aaron Eckhart threw his back out, but he's just like, ooh, no, we're not going to be flipping.
No.
Yeah, he tries to strangle him with the world's biggest scrunchy phone cord.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Which I thought, you can't strangle someone with a phone cord.
I appreciate you missing the joke, but it's just sci-fi nonsense. Yeah. What is this magic cable? Why there were chains hanging down from the scene. Like, use a chain. That's what they're for.
Mm-hmm. Not in this scenario. No, he was just using it to get him to the catwalk because he did see the future.
On the catwalk.
On the catwalk.
Do you
under the catwalk. Getting wrapped in phone cord under the catwalk.
I'm too sexy montage.
Dueling montage.
I almost did RMFAO.
How did he change this future though?
We're not told. That's the whole thing. Like I wish we could see elements of it earlier where like he does something wrong. Like, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or like he watches the future. We see the future. But then he decides to turn left instead of right. So immediately something's wrong with the just anything.
You know what I wish they would have done as I think about it? They would have done the time turner, time stop.
Back to the future where he makes out with his mother?
No, the Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban thing where Hermione Granger had the time turner thing that was approved by the Ministry of Magic because she was taking over a load. And so at the end of the movie, you thought everything was going back. She just times it up a couple times. I would have rather seen that. Like, his death, like, he accidentally put something in his heart to make him whatever.
I was wondering if that was the job of the bullet. Like, in The Three Musketeers, the cross stops the bullet. Mm-hmm. He put, like, a bullet in his coat pocket, and the other bullet hits it, and something happens.
Better. That's better.
Yeah.
Although, at one point in the movie, I think one of the goons fires a shotgun into the ground and backflips.
Actually, you know what would be even better? Your idea, but it goes full Back to the Future, right? That's the one thing he saw that he decided to change was to wear the bulletproof vest underneath.
Or I'll put some DC anime in here, Injustice, because his girlfriend, whatever, is a scientist. They probably have like a cardiologist, whatever. And if his heart stops,
yeah,
the machine blows up as like a failsafe.
Oh, yeah, that
works. Injustice.
You're right.
Yeah, Joker.
I thought you were going to talk about the other part of Injustice where she has to die in order to save the world. Right? Because that's what happens with Lois Lane, which turns Superman into the guy.
It's evil, yeah.
So we can prevent it from ever happening
again.
Right. Like, he has to let her die to prevent it to happen. Like, anyway, yeah. Either way, we're making a better movie.
We're making a better
as
which we always do.
Anyway, at the end, Joe Morton essentially lets him, figures out that he's not dead.
Yeah.
When this whole thing explodes, because Skullet is trying to see his own future for some reason. We don't really get why Skullet.
Is Skullet Kiln 4?
Yeah.
He just has the power to. Why not? Like, honestly, if I had a machine that I could see my own future, I'll be tempted.
And he sees his own death.
Yes.
Yeah, and they scan the thing, and the gas tank explodes. I don't know what to tell you.
Because that's what they did with the bullet. He put it on a piston in the machine somehow.
Smack.
Yeah.
Kabooey.
Which blows up the entire complex just when a few hundred FBI agents
show up. Paul Giamatti should have been in more scenes.
I like Paul Giamatti in this because he's like playing like
the goofy
friend, which we needed some humor in this so bad. Whenever he leaves, it slows down. I'm just like, why do I care about any of these people?
Yeah.
Oof. Anyway, Ben Affleck gets away. And he finds, you know, he's living with Uma Thurman now. They're starting a plant company.
Yeah.
I don't know if you buy plants, if they decorate your house, whatever.
Pike's Family Nurseries, now with time travel technology.
There you go.
If your plant dies, go back and fix it.
Not kill it.
I would have rather them just do like an ayahuasca kind of type deal with the birds and the plants. They could make a hell of a lot of money because that could be essentially one thing to predict the future. Ayahuasca.
Yeah. Ayahuasca.
Yep.
Oh, my brain stopped.
Yeah, and then
Paul Giamatti shows up with the bird cage and he goes, "We love these birds, right? What did that fortune from scene one say? oh, I never would have gotten rid of these birds." And then like underneath is a winning lottery ticket.
There's a scene in a train station. There are a bunch of numbers,
right?
You know, so he had that fortune cookie that had the
same
riddle,
numbers,
the same numbers as well. Which again, how do you get that fortune cookie?
How did he get the birds? Because they bought the birds together, but he wasn't allowed out of the compound.
Yeah.
Did he order them?
Or did she just have them? And they're like, this is us. I have this lover. And you're this lover. Because otherwise, it's just a lot of her talking to herself.
It is a lab of sorts. I'm sure like
they're just banging in the closet. And but they live separately, I guess. Also, in the other one, he's not allowed out of the room. Like,
at his I think because that's for a few months. I guess. Wait.
He's not allowed out of the compound for 3 years. That's why he gives up all the stuff.
Wait, does that mean everyone has this neurological thing? If
no
they
idea
work
if
for the
she
company?
Does, but everyone else lives there, right? Because right. Doesn't she have company housing?
Yeah. Yes. I mean where they're living at when they go to the high school. I think that was supposed to be her place, but she also has an apartment in the lab where they have cameras set up and are spying on her, the perverts.
See, like, I got the feeling that he's not allowed to leave the compound, but he's allowed to be around. But she, though she lives there, just goes out and runs errands sometimes, and that's why she's picking up, like, she can pick up mundane things. Like,
I think she's just, like, making the weather where he is trying to, like, time travel. So
can you imagine just, like, it's just a corporate meeting, like, oh, God, the weather machine got delayed again. He goes, and I can't figure out how this processor does what it does. Also, the other thing we don't understand, is who the fuck made this technology? Because, like, it's already sci-fi. Like, we don't have technology. Like, the reason I assume the FBI is after him is because someone stole this from a military facility.
Yeah, there is a reference to the guy who fell out his window, wink, wink. And apparently the company had stolen the technology.
I totally forgot about that.
And I think maybe the attorney general, that's what got him involved. Then he started realizing what he could potentially do with the future machine.
Yeah, and so like wherever they stole this from, he somehow has to reverse engineer it. Then we never see the original product, right? But he builds this super, I don't know, it's a cool set. I kind of like how that set looks.
Yeah.
And so he decides to destroy it. Like, I just, it's so weird that this technology had already existed in the world and it doesn't matter.
Do you think Paycheck and Minority Report are in the same universe?
You know what? In the Philip K. Dickiverse?
Continue.
In the Dickiverse, it might well be. I've read some Philip K. Dick short stories. He also wrote Minority Report.
Right.
And if you told me all of those happened in the same megalopolis, I'd believe you because they have the same feel.
Because this could have been like a prequel to it because they have the technology in the future. Just to see in the future, not go to the future.
Yeah, the nuclear war they predict causes Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Because Blade Runner, the weather is all weird.
And that's the Dick musical we are pitching.
The Dickinsons.
No, not that kind of Dick musical. The other kind, about Philip K. Dick.
Oh, my bad.
Not the Richard Nixon one we were doing.
Gotcha.
I am not a traitor and a tech terrorist.
Oh, China. Like, you just...
if he was still alive today. I would have loved...
Old man.
My name is Richard Nilhouse Nixon.
I know.
Old man Mao Zedong.
This is one of the many things from Futurama that I wish that existed, which is like the heads of the presidents. I would have just wanted them to be in the committee to testify against the CEO of TikTok and just all of them just be like, you know...
It's a watch speaking before Congress?
It's like the Hogwarts portraits of the previous headmasters.
Yes. I mean, with AI...
Why won't you let me die?
I mean, with AI and deep fakes, that could happen.
Could you imagine just like... you're giving a speech in the Capitol Rotunda and the statues are like... are jeering you? Like, and then
Statler and Waldorf, it's old man George Washington, Abraham Lincoln.
And God,
They probably don't want to do that for presidents.
Where are the hookers at?
I think Nixon was probably the most least racist president from my memory.
At least up to that point.
It was Thomas Jefferson, Nixon, and Obama.
The three least racist.
And Lincoln, my bad.
I would add him. I'd add Jimmy Carter, local boy.
Teddy Roosevelt.
He wasn't great. Teddy Roosevelt invited Booker T. Washington. I'm sure he had some colorful language for the Asians, though.
I don't think...
I'm
saying in all aspects, you know.
Bully! Yeah. I don't know. I do like the idea that if you start giving a press conference in the Capitol Rotunda and a statue just goes, bullshit, and it's just like, quiet down, Washington.
Yeah, I don't want... honestly, I would have loved to have that technology when Obama was in office. They'd be like... just trying to cut him off on the speeches.
Boo!
And
boo!
Like that one.
And Tom Selleck was like, "Let him finish."
Obama like shoves a sock in like Woodrow Wilson's mouth.
Oh well, I mean, in Statuary Hall, one of our statues was the Vice President of the Confederacy who offered to end the world or war earlier if they got to keep their slaves. Alex Stevens.
Yeah.
And just he's like, who is speaking?" And just.
The statue has a heart attack and dies.
Oh, my God.
This frail 110-pound asshole. Oh, my medication.
See, that's why I don't...
His little bus just rolls off the column.
See, that's why I don't fuck with time, going to the past with time travel, right? If I had a time machine, I would just keep going to the future. Why would my black ass want to go...
That was a whole plot. That Anthony Mackie movie where he's a cop. I think it's Anthony Mackie. He has to go. He goes back in time and having to pretend to be a slave of a Confederate officer. And he comes back. The past sucks.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. I need to watch that movie. Yeah.
Okay. What was the...
His partner's family... His whole family died in Hurricane Katrina. So he's trying to save his partner's daughter or something.
That is very Anthony Mackie. Like, I need to check that out. No, I would go to the future. Fuck the past. I can't even go to Jim Crow era. You know, it's just.
No. The way you do it is like he does it. Oh, these were the lottery numbers. I'm going to buy it. Like, because that's 3 days. Yeah. You are going 3 days in the future or past.
Yeah, I would. The furthest back I would go, early 80s, when they started cleaning up Times Square.
I mean. People ask me. I'm a historian. No, I don't. I like hot water and antibiotics.
Yeah.
I don't want to die of like a stiff wind. I don't.
I tell them the kids about World War One. Yeah, you cut yourself, they'll cut off your arm.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah, crotch rot and trench foot. I don't want those.
And you're eaten by rats.
Corpses. And living people just taking a bite out of your sandwich.
Used to smoke everywhere.
Could you imagine?
Why did they stop doing that?
70s, 80s. I was a kid.
Secondhand smoke, I remember that being a debate.
No, in the early 2000s, I remember smoking and non-smoking being...
I was going to say, when I was a kid, there were still smoking sessions well into like high school. So I used to be able to smoke on airplanes, which God help you. I can't even imagine. But so I'm going to guess by late 90s, there was almost everywhere. No, like they were starting to phase out. That's why everything used to be out of... we can wrap this up. Any final thoughts on this movie before we get out of here?
And I would say it's probably one of those see once and don't think about it too much. Maybe once it gets going, it's more fun. It's just the beginning is too slow. And then it gets into wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
First and last time I watched this movie. Nothing against the actors. I love Ben Affleck, Uma Thurman and stuff. But it was just, I hate the fact that it's an action movie and John Woo like dropped the ball on this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with anything any of you said, but I'm fine with this movie. I hadn't seen it in 20 years. Maybe it's just that I knew the plot twist, so I didn't have to pay full attention.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I didn't watch the trailer. I didn't watch any of it. I just went into the
movie. I didn't even know this movie existed.
Yeah. But did you do any preparation? Or did you
no,
watch the trailer?
Not really.
And I love that. So you can, like, make your own
just
opinion.
Do it. Yeah, just see it. Hell. Yeah. But yeah, no, I saw 20 years ago. This 20th anniversary, I think, came out in 2003. I like that there's actual explosions. Like, nowadays it would all be CGI and it wouldn't even make Netflix, right? And so, like, this is the kind of movie they don't make, which is, like, the tech action movie at scale. If it's not a superhero movie, and yes, some of those are kind of tech thrillers, like, but this just... I enjoy this style of movie. There aren't a lot of them that I haven't seen several times. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to have a new movie.
Yeah.
Well, old movie, but you know what I mean. Something I haven't memorized. But no, it's no good. Like you can tell I chose this because no one else could even remember this. I saw it in theater and I was like, "Oh, that was stupid." But
20 years later, I think we should watch Paycheck.
But it'd be like, what's the 5 years from then version? World War Z? Like the dramatic sci-fi action movie is a genre that kind of died because Skynet turned out to be real and we don't like that kind of future anymore.
Yeah.
Skynet turned out to be real and it's controlling our lives with algorithms.
Kinda. As we're recording, we mentioned earlier, but the head of TikTok was before Congress today. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT, whatever that is.
GPT.
Is going to be writing all our kids' papers.
Well, that's what we're told
How
to
are
be.
Y'all cracking down on that?
I mean, that's
you have to write it by on paper, I suppose.
Well, it's that, but it's also, they have a very specific writing style that you can tell if it's bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Some kid actually made a program that could detect ChatGPT. All the teachers should chip in to give a kid a medal.
Well, A, but
they say.
The problem is kids have been ripping off essays for a long time. This just is easier. I was going to say it was hacked and it released a lot of people's personal data, so it's being sued like crazy right now. So we'll just see what happens. It's just, it's so strange that this text.
It's funny enough, is. South Park did an episode and it was written by ChatGPT.
I want to know how much of it was, because I watched that episode. It's very funny.
Yeah.
I sometimes I feel like they cheated a little, but it was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Final thoughts?
I miss Ben Affleck. I don't miss early 2000s. I like post Jennifer Garner Ben Affleck, you know, with the serious roles he takes, because he takes care. I think this he was just doing for a paycheck and John Woo.
Paycheck. Stuff,
you know. Oh, I see what I did there. But yeah, it's I just, the actors in this movie have gone on to do better movies. That's the nicest thing I'll say about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I gave my piece earlier. I'll watch this again eventually, just because it has action. But we're out of time. Thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for watching with us. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for listening. And I don't know who listens to these things, but more and more of you show up every day. So thank you. Do me a favor. It's been a while since I've made a plea. Give us reviews. I'll take them wherever you leave them. But it brings attention to the show. And, you know, we've been featured recently some places, and I'd love to see some results. The numbers are fine. I just want to know what you think.
That's more important.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks.